I will continue of my talk on nonlinear Neumann problem. Yesterday, I mainly concentrated on a subcritical case. Today, we're going to talk about the critical case. And also, at the end, I will try to summarize the difference and also similarity between the critical case and the subcritical case. I'd like to mention the work I will cover today as joint work with Nassif Goussoub, somehow with C.S. Lane from National Center of Theoretical Science in Taiwan, and also Meijun Zhu from University of Oklahoma. But first, let me try to remind you what the problem is and what we did last time. So we're concerned with this simple-looking nonlinear equation with Neumann bound condition. We are interested in positive solutions, of course. And this problem arises from the study of pattern formation in biological sciences. Well, in particular, if we consider a so-called Guillaume-Menhardt system and we try to consider limiting case when one of the diffusion rate is very large, we get a shared system, and that shared system where is equivalent to this single equation, at least in a stationary sense, when we consider stationary problem. Okay, so the subcritical case means that P, the exponent, is between 1 and n plus 2 over n minus 2, and this number is the critical exponent, as many experts know. And of course, the critical case is P equals this number when dimension is bigger than 1 to 3. So last time, I reviewed some results on different type of solutions for the problem in the subcritical case. So, namely, we know that there exists a so-called least energy solution, which has a single spec on the boundary. And we also know that there are solutions which has multiple specs on the boundary, so we call multiple boundary peak solution. And we also know the solution which has multiple interior peaks. And well, there's one I didn't mention last time. Indeed, we can also make a find a solution which has mixed boundary peak and interior peak. So we find a lot of different kind of solutions for the subcritical case and the certain very mild conditions. Well, again, I want to remind you the results just by pictures instead of theorems. So this is the picture of the solution we have for the subcritical case. This energy solution with one single peak on the boundary, and this multiple peak solutions on the boundary, and there are also multiple peak solutions, with peaks in the interior. Well, I want to emphasize that the peak on the boundary, say for the single peak solution, when this energy solution has the characteristics that the concentration point P0 is the point which has the largest mean curvature on the boundary. And that's it. That's the condition. Well, on the other hand, on the multiple peak on the boundary, at least for the solution I constructed, the point has maximum mean curvature in local maximum mean curvature on the patch of the surface. And this concentration point in the interior peak for the subgroup case is a generalized distance function of k points to the, I mean, k points to the boundary and between themselves. All right. Well, nothing about the profile of the solution. The profile of the solution is basically a scaling of a entire solution to this equation. Okay, so this equation has unique solution, which is radiosymmetry. So we know pretty clear the picture of the those different type of solutions. Well, now we try to do the same thing for the critical case. But let's see what's the major problem and what's the difference. Well, if we try to do the same thing for the critical case, one natural thing is to try to find a solution to the in the entire space, the entire solution. But unfortunately, we don't have such a solution in the entire space when the power is the critical exponent. So that means we can not find the basic profile just from this equation. Well, of course, experts know that we have another problem in the entire space, which drops the linear term W, minus W. So we just have the solution equation Laplace U plus U to the power of N plus 2 over N minus 2. So it's basically this equation without this term. And we do have solutions for this equation in the entire space. Indeed, we have actually a family of solutions, U lambda. And the U lambda is given by this exponential formula. And this family of solution can be indeed scaled from one of the solutions. So you have this scaling property for the family of solutions. Naturally, we expect this type of solution will be the somehow representing the basic profile of the possible picked solution for the critical case for the original problem. Okay, so if we do a very rough analysis, we would see that if a solution to the original problem, and put it here, exists, so when P is critical case, then the maximum of the solution has to go to infinity when epsilon goes to infinity. Because otherwise, you know, we will obtain a solution to the equation with minus W. Right? Otherwise, we will get a solution to this equation with P equals critical exponent, but we know that solution does not exist. Okay, so we see immediately that the maximum has to go to infinity. So this gives you already a very big difference between the critical case and the subcritical case. In subcritical case, we know the basic profile, the hat is fixed. It does not go, you know, change much. But in the critical case, the hat has to go to infinity, has to blow up, in a sense. Well, indeed, we expect just from simple scaling argument that the solution should look like U1, which is, so we pick one of these spatial solution for the family in the entire space. So UX first has to be scaled by epsilon, which is coming from the parameter here, epsilon squared here. Then we have to rescale to make the term here vanish, the minus U term vanish. So that's the actual scaling of lambda epsilon. Then lambda epsilon has to go to zero. So we have two scalings here. You can see this term has to go to infinity. So the height of the solution is expected to go to infinity. And that, indeed, that's the case. I will come back to the solution in more detail later, but now let me try to set this problem up in a variational structure. Again, as for a similar in the subgroup case, we can write the problem 1 in a setting of a variational problem. But first, let me show you the character U, the solution here for this problem has a very important characteristics in variational setting. Basically, it gives you the best sublief embedding constant. So in this sense, I think all of you know what this means. And this is very well known. So you give you the basic constant in sublief embedding. Now, for the problem 1, we can use either a functional like this, which is very natural from the equation, and the order Lagrange equation of this guy give you the equation, the original equation. Okay. From now on, you may think that P is the critical exponent. So I will just write as P plus 1 here. P is the critical exponent. So this is one variational formulation of this problem. Another equivalent setting is to consider the quotient of these two functional. And again, the critical point of this functional also gives you a solution to the problem 1, probably after some scaling. Okay, you have a Lagrange multiplier coming up, but basically the same similar equation. And both methods, both formula, both formulation can be used to study the original equation, and they are almost equivalent. Okay. As you know, for the quick case, there is a classic difficulty involved, which is the non-compactness, because of the sublief embedding is not compact at the critical exponent situation. And, well, if you put in another way, it basically says that Pallas-Mell sequence do not converge in general, has to have some, the problem satisfies the Pallas-Mell conditions only at certain levels. Okay, well, this is already well known among experts. Well, not even experts, PDEs. Okay. So let me review some results about the existence of solutions for the critical case. Well, the existence of least energy solution was obtained by Adimotti, Mancini, as well as by Xuzhou Wang. They obtained the existence independently. Well, it basically says that the original problem has a solution which has the least energy in the sense that the solution, among all possible solutions, that solution has the smallest energy. This can be obtained by either consider the mountain pass solutions of this functional or just the minimizer of this functional. So, well, later Wei Mingyi, Xinbin Pan, and Takagi proved that such little energy solution does have the same or similar concentration phenomenon as for the subcritical case. Namely, such a solution has only one local maximum, has only one maximum point when U is very small, and this maximum point is on the boundary. And moreover, when U goes to zero, this maximum point goes to the point which has the largest mean curvature. So exactly the same format of concentration as in the subcritical case. Except that, of course, the concentration in the head goes to infinity, as I've just mentioned before. Later on, we proved the existence of multiple boundary peak solutions for the critical case as well. It's more shorter. In this case, we have to. There are difficulties in the lower dimensions. So what we proved first is in 96, for dimension bigger than equal to 5, if we assume the boundary has local, say several local maximum point of the mean curvature, then and those local mean curvature is positive, we prove the existence of multiple peak solutions exactly in the same format as for subcritical case. But let me emphasize that we have to assume that the mean curvature, the local maximum of the mean curvature, has to be positive in our construction. Independently, Ray also studied the same problem. He obtained for dimension n bigger than or equal to 7 for some non-degenerate critical point of the boundary mean curvature, there are solutions which has concentration at those non-degenerate critical point of the mean curvature. So if you have a boundary which has several critical points, non-degenerate critical points for the mean curvature, you may get a multiple concentration, multiple spec solution as well. Again, he also have to assume that the mean curvature has to be positive at those non-degenerate critical points. More recently, Ray did a very dedicated analysis for lower dimensions as well, and he also proved that for n dimension 3 and 4, such a multiple peak solution exists. Under the condition that, again, the non-degenerate critical point has to have positive mean curvature. So you can see, so that's probably the major existing result obtained so far. There might be some other results which maybe generalize those results, but that's essentially what we know for existence results. Here comes two questions. First, can we have interior peak solution for the critical case? As we know, for the subcritical case, we do have multiple interior peak solutions for, you know, as many peaks as we wish. But here, we don't know so far if there is such a interior peak solution for the critical case. Second, when we try to construct the boundary peak solutions for the subcritical case, we just need either the non-degenerate critical points of the boundary mean curvature or just local maximum point of the boundary mean curvature. No other conditions. But here, in this construction so far, we do need the positivity of the mean curvature where we want the concentration happens. So is this necessary? Well, in terms of the answer is basically no for the first question. So let me still keep the first question here. So this maybe indicated by this three theorems. So the theme is that the idea is that there should not be any interior peak solutions. The rigorous results at least is here. First, Gusup, Meijun Zhu, and myself actually considered this problem a long time ago, and we got results 5 or 4 years ago, but we were not very satisfactory with the results, so we didn't publish at that time. But eventually, we thought we should publicize it. So the result goes like this. So if we consider a function, a solution to the problem which has this energy constraint, okay, I will explain later why this kind of constraint. Then the maximum point of this solution has to go to the boundary when U goes to zero. Okay, so that's the theorem. Why this formula? I'm not using the quotient formulation for the variation problem. Well, if you do that, as you know, the best Sobolev best constant is S. So that means if you don't have this number here, if the energy is relative to S, means that the solution will be just like the standard profile capital U. Sorry, boundary, thanks. It should be boundary, of course. Okay, so if you don't have this term, just equals S means basically you have one peak, one full peak of for the solution. Keep in mind that we might have a solution which has peak on the boundary. So if I have peak on the boundary, that will have half of the energy. Right, so half of the energy in the quotient formation will give you one half here. So one half to this power. If you change 3 to 1, that basically says that's the energy of one half peak. But now the condition here is 3 over 2. So keep in mind this 3. The other things, this 3 basically means that you may have the energy of three of half peaks. So 3 times half peaks energy. So that means now I have allowed it to be a little bit smaller. So the most peak you have is 2 half peak or 1 peak. So this condition basically means that we are concentrate on one single peak in the interior and see if it's possible. Okay, so let me repeat. This condition basically says we focus on one single peak in the interior and see if such solution exists. Or if otherwise, if you have one single peak on the boundary, then you cannot have one single peak in the interior because this 3 means that you cannot have more than 3 half peaks. So basically, this theorem implies that we cannot have a single interior peak solution for this critical case. And this is for all dimensions. There is also a result by Cao and Lucille and Yan, they show that for dimension bigger than weak to 5, there's no solution which is of this form. Okay, so the solution is H1 close to a superposition of this basic structure of peaks for the critical case. And these peaks are supposed to be away from each other and also away from the boundary. So they prove that for dimension bigger than 5, such solution does not exist. 3, 5. Yeah, k is bigger than 2, yeah. Well, actually any k. K could be 1. Here, of course, the condition here is rather strong because, it's not an easy thing to prove the peak if this one has to be of this form. I mean, it's possible, but for higher energy solution, particularly if you don't know the peak, you know, if they can be very close or not, or if they can be close to boundary or not. So, because in this type of problem, there is a very well-known difficulty is to rule out the so-called bubble-on-bubble situation. That means the two peaks gets very close to each other. That's the difficult thing to rule out, or even that's sometimes possible. For experts here, or for many people here, it is known that this type of problem is related to Yamabe problem, at least in certain aspects, in certain difficulties. Okay, so this result, even though it's a little bit soft, but also indicates that the interior peak solution cannot exist. Another recent improvement of result in this direction by Ray basically says that for dimension equals 3, the lower dimension case, which is usually the most difficult case, that if you have a sequence of solution which is H1 bounded, then the solution has to have one maximum point going to the boundary, or goes to boundary. So basically, it's slightly improvement of our results. Because you know, if you have more points, then you study the energy. You can find out some kind of decomposition. So the difficulty is still try to rule out the point going to the boundary. So they prove that with a little bit of relaxation of this energy constraint, this one point goes to the boundary. Okay. So anyway, those results indicate that there should not be any interior peak solution for the critical case, which is quite different from the subcritical case. Another the question number 2 is the positivity necessary for the boundary peak solution. Well, this is a sort of question for non-experts, but it is really an important question for experts. So what we eventually prove is the following theorem. This is a work General Chris C.S. Lin from Taiwan, National Center for Theoretical Physics. Theoretical Sciences. So we prove that if we have a solution for the original problem which has energy at this level, then if we assume that the maximum point of the solution goes to P, then P has to have positive mean curvature. And of course, the gradient of H at P, 0 has to be 0. So the gradient has to be a critical point of the mean curvature. And we also prove asymptotic, some very delicate asymptotics. Again, let me explain this condition. This condition, one half here, basically means that you have just one single boundary peak. Because, as I said in the last theorem, this is the energy of a single half peak on the boundary. Here, important thing is that here is 1 plus little O1. So that means we allow this level to be even to be just around this one peak solution, could be above it in the hypothesis. And of course, this condition is just local. We can just make it a local condition. Basically, means if we have one concentration point and we take a small neighborhood, and if the energy is this level, that will be enough. We don't really need the global global energy constraint. Well, the reason to make this constraint is again to rule out or to forget about the case that we bubble on bubble happens. That means two concentration, two block point gets very close to each other. Right? And this is one of the most difficult situation. So we want to avoid that situation. Well, I must say that similar results actually obtained before by Adimorti, Pacena, and Yadava in a series of papers in the early 90s. So they basically proved that for dimension bigger than or equal to 7, and assume this condition that the energy is strictly less than the energy of half peak. So this is strictly less. Then the above result is true. That means the positivity for the mean curvature and the gradient. The point has to be the critical point of the grade of the curvature, mean curvature. Well, here again, the dimension n bigger than 7 comes in because the lower dimension is usually the hardest in this problem. And the condition here, compared to our condition, there's a, even though look, it looks very similar, but there's a big difference, really big difference. So this condition basically already imply that the curvature has to be positive. In the construction of all these solutions, when you have the positivity of the curvature, then you can basically estimate the energy in the quotient format. You will have minus term some h squared. Okay, and this h squared can be obtained only when the curvature is positive. So this strict inequality gives you the positivity in a much easier way, the positivity of the curvature. So the difference are actually quite significant. Another thing I want to mention is that the methods are very different. Our methods are very different from theirs. Even though all these papers are very technically involved, but on the other hand, I can still say the method they are using is a little bit soft. Okay, so in the sense that they just consider the distance of the solutions in certain space, H1 space or refined space. As I show you later, our method is more hard. We really get the detailed asymptotics, detailed estimate, point-wise. Okay. Well, to show you complex of the problem, let me put another slide, which is indeed the fourth statement of our theorem. The first two part basically says that the curvature has to be positive at the concentration point, and it has to be the critical point of the mean curvature. Then, as I mentioned in the beginning, in the critical case, the height of the solution will go to infinity, or the solution blows up when epsilon goes to zero. Then it is very important to study the scale or the blow up rate when epsilon goes to zero, because it involves with the direct scaling of the solution. So what we proved that a very detailed formula for the blow up rate of the solution. So MD is the maximum of the solution. Well, here D is the epsilon in my talk. So we prove that when n dimension bigger than root 5, so the MD is basically, or M epsilon is basically epsilon to the minus of n minus 2 over 2 rate. So this rate is algebraic, so it's quite clear. So that's why for dimension bigger than root 5, it's somehow easier. Then for dimension equals 4, we have this rate of blow up. So it's more involved. And eventually for dimension 3, we have this blow up. Okay, so in all this sense, all this theorem, we can estimate, in all the cases, we can estimate the blow up rate of the solutions. Another thing I want to say is that here, the solution we constructed before, of course, has this blow up rate, at least for dimensions, the corresponding dimensions. But here, the theorem of them here do not, you know, we consider for all solutions. So it's a general statement. As many of you know that the two type problem for many equations. One is the existence. We can always try to construct certain solutions and certain conditions. Another thing is try to study the structure of all possible solutions, and they are quite different problem and quite technically are usually quite different. So here, this result is for all solutions, with, of course, localized constraint of energy. We don't have much time, so let me give you a very rough idea of the method. As I said, we are using a hot analysis method. So a key estimate is indeed to prove the blow-up point, or the concentration point, is the so-called simple blow-up point, which is a terminology borrowed from Rick Shum on the study of Yamabe problem. So it basically states as follows. So if we first make a scaling, get rid of this epsilon in the equation in this way, so we get a V epsilon Y. Keep in mind that after this scaling, we get rid of epsilon squared in the original equation, so we expect V epsilon Y is somehow close to one of the solutions in the entire space, but we don't know the scale. Well, even though we don't know the scaling, we want to show that there is a positive constant independent of epsilon such that V can be bounded by U with this, with certain red scaling, lambda U epsilon. Okay, U is the solution. We have the exact formula, at least for a certain range, Y bigger, less than equal to 1. Well, lambda U epsilon is the head, or is the maximum, is related to the maximum of the solution. Okay. So this is the statement with the key estimate we want to get. Well, in order to prove this key estimate, we have to do several things. First, we have to estimate a slightly weaker inequality. Basically, we have to show that D is bounded by C times y to this power. If you still remember, the power for this equation is actually y to the 2 minus n. Okay, so here we want to prove it for all ranges. But here we consider a slightly weaker estimate. And this can be done by using the energy constraint proper scalings. So this can be done. This is not that difficult. So once you get this one is very useful because you can have Harnack inequalities for the inverse equation. Or even if you write the original equation as law plus u plus u to the power of n p minus 1 times u itself, and consider it as linear equation, you have Harnack inequality. So basically means that a solution will be somehow similar to radio solution. Okay, even though it's not, but the average, you know, the maximum and the minimum of the solution on any sphere will be comparable. So we have Harnack inequality. So, roughly speaking, you can try to imagine a solution look like a radio solution, even though it is not. So, by scaling, by the proper scaling, we can have very good understanding of the solution near zero, near the origin, say in the scale of r times lambda epsilon. R is some big fixed number, lambda epsilon is this one, which goes to zero. So near the origin, we know well what the solution looks like. I say outside the distance one, the solution is also somehow well understood because we prove in step two we have this estimate. Okay, it's exponentially small, y gets very large, and this mk is the value, the maximum value of v sphere one. Okay, so in Yamabe problem and also other similar problems, the difficulty is to estimate the intermediate range, so the range here. So to do that, we have to construct very dedicated maximum comparison functions, as well as use iteration, and then use different scalings to get the Green's function. You know, when I say scaling means we blow it, the solution up in a different way, we will get Green's functions either, or sometimes, some case in the whole space for Laplacian, or for Laplacian g minus g equals zero. I mean, this Green's functions. We have to use this for the property of the Green's functions and the often used Prokhorov identity to help us to get the estimate in this range. So the estimate eventually we obtain is what we expected, what we want. It's a simple blob estimate. Okay. Well, once we have this blow up estimate, then we use the Prokhorov identity in the localized sense to do many messy computations, because we already know we have the simple blow up estimate, so all these computations can be made rigorously, very rigorous way, even though it's complicated. So with those computations, we can eventually prove that the positivity or non-negativity of the blow-up point, as well as the asymptotics. I just showed you the complicated asymptotics and the critical point. The blow-up is critical point. So it's very technical, but the really key is the simple blow-up estimate. So this theorem basically says that the positivity of the blow-up point is necessary for the critical case. I believe this kind of estimate has other significant applications. For example, to study the subnef embedding in the exterior domain case. And also to refine the subnef embedding formulas. Okay, before I stop, let me try to summarize quickly the difference between subcritical case and the critical cases. So here is a table. So now we consider a Dirichlet problem, Neumann problem, for the simple looking equation. The two cases, critical and subcritical. Of course, you may ask, how about supercritical? Supercritical, we don't know how to do it. There are not much results on that. One difficulty is that we cannot put it in a right variational formulation. And of course, the results will, even though there are some, they will be very different. So for the subcritical case, we have many different multiple peak solutions. Multiple interior peak solutions. So this column means that we are concerned about interior peak solutions. So there are many interior peak solutions, but basically no for the critical case. For bound peak solutions, for the subcritical case, we just need the non-degeneracy or local maximum point to get the concentration at that point. But for critical case, we do require the positivity of the curvature at the concentration point. For the concentration rate, as we know, for the subcritical case, the solution will not blow up. It will concentrate, but the head of the solution is fixed. But for critical case, we do have blow up. When epsilon goes to zero, the concentration actually at a higher and higher head. And the rate will be different for different dimensions. Another thing, of course, is Dirichlet problem. We know that for subcritical case, we always have at least one solution for the Dirichlet problem, which I think is proven by Jun Cheng and Wei Min. And you can even show that when omega is bar, the solution is unique. But for Dirichlet problem, And the critical exponent case, we can use, it is well known that using positive identity, people can show there's no solution, no positive solution. So there's a big difference between the critical case and subcritical case, at least at a finer viewpoint. Maybe I'll stop here. Thank you for your patience.
Any questions?
Oh, that's a good question. So far, there's no construction of solutions concentrating at the zero mean curvature point. But on the other hand, we cannot prove the strict positivity either. So, but we believe that has to be really positive instead of just non-negative. Yes?
When you refer to a simple blow up, do you mean that you can prove it? The blow up has to be simple under that any condition?
Yeah, we prove that.
What if you don't have that?
No, we actually avoid that part of difficulty, the bubble on bubble situation. So. that's really a case we cannot handle. I mean, of course, even this case is already very, very involved. Yes? Okay, for sufficient condition is that if you have this curvature positive and the critical point is a non-degenerate critical point, then we have a solution concentrated on that point. So this condition is almost necessary under sufficient condition, modulo that this equality and degeneracy is excluded. So,
I'd just like to thank you.